Now, what happens when truth fractures, technology accelerates, the climate destabilizes, and the world's center of gravity keeps shifting at once? Addressing these questions, amongst many others, is the Cambridge Festival, a citywide celebration of ideas that embraces the defining questions of our time. High-profile speakers this year include broadcaster and campaigner Carol Vorderman, former astronomer Royal Lord Martin Rees, Stanford climate scientist Mark Z. Jacobson, obesity researcher and award-winning broadcaster Giles Yeo, historian and filmmaker Malik al-Nazir, and former Home Secretary Charles Clark. And I'm delighted to be joined by one of these illustrious names this morning, Dr. Giles Yeo. A very good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you very much for coming. And the talk takes place, I think, on Monday, the 30th of March. But in recognition of your eminence, it seems to already be sold out.
No, I know. This is maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Not necessary. I think it is sold out, but that doesn't mean that more tickets are not available. And there are many other fantastic events as well, of course.
So you didn't need me to promote you, but it sounds a fascinating talk. And it's called In a Post-Ozempic World, Have We Cured Obesity? I mean, have we, or is that too much of a spoiler for the talk?
No, I don't think it is a spoiler for the talk. The answer is, we now have a lot of tools. Look, I've been in this business for a long time, 30 years, looking at obesity, and we have never had this many tools in which we can use to sort of tackle a worldwide global public health problem. But have we cured it? No, absolutely not. We've supplied a lot of tools for it, but we still have not cured obesity.
And I'm very much a layperson medically, but it feels as though there are many cases where humans have tried to manipulate outcomes through these kind of sort of tools, i.e. drugs. And obviously many of them have been phenomenally successful, but there's many examples in history of unintended consequences, aren't there?
That is true. I guess you just have to use the tool that is... You have to use the tool for what it's designed to be for, right? A hammer for a nail and a screwdriver for a screw. And what happens with these drugs is you use it to treat the symptoms of a disease, use it to treat a disease. And in this particular situation, obesity and diabetes. I think the moment you ascribe more function to a tool than others, that's when you get into trouble. And what these drugs can't do is prevent obesity and improve your... It can't remove poverty and it can't improve the food environment. So I think the moment you sort of take it apart where societally, we still need to make an effort in order to improve the food environment, better education, all those things. But these drugs will be helpful for treating people with obesity.
And I guess there's sort of so many reasons, and it's a very complex situation as to why things have got so bad. I mean, what are your perspectives on how we've got into this situation in the last sort of 20, 30 years?
I mean, I think we started the process by needing to feed 5, then 6, then 7, then now 8 billion people in the world. And the more people you got to feed, you sort of have to rethink your food processes, right? And so none of this began by the food industry saying we're trying to design something to make people unhealthy or to kill people. That was not their aim. But I think we've got to the situation now where we've spiraled into a position of a food environment. I mean, look, it's interesting. We've reached an inflection point in human evolution. Over the last 15 years, there are now more people in the world that are dying because of overnutrition as opposed to undernutrition, famine, biblical famine. Can you believe that? So now there are more people dying because they're having too much of what they don't need than having too little of what they need. So this is where we are at the moment. So the drugs are an answer to an element of it, but we need to fix the food environment that we're in.
So clearly some critical, I mean, it's astonishing statistic there, and some critical kind of questions for society, and obviously a fascinating field of research. What brought you into this particular field originally, Dr. Yeo?
So I came into this to study the genetics of body weight. I'm a geneticist by trade. And so we sort of begin by looking at the genetics of severe obesity and then now look at body weight in general. And within the field, we now know that the biology of the genetics of body weight is the genetics of how our brain influences feeding behavior. And your brain broadly needs to understand two pieces of information to influence feeding behavior. It needs to know how much fat you have, because that's how long you would last without any food, long-term energy stores. But it also needs to know how much you're eating and what you're currently eating. And those signals are going to come from your gut. These are gut hormones that signal to the brain. And interestingly, these drugs are modified gut hormones. So while we've been trying to understand how the native hormones signal to the brain and how they differ between people and why some people are more or less sensitive to these hormones, these drugs then came around, which were modified versions. So it's almost like we were studying the hormones anyway. Why would we not study the modified hormones and how they signal within the brain? That's how I got into this.
And I guess, like so many areas, this has become with all the drugs on the market at the moment, it's a particularly fast-moving environment. Are there any particular things you envisage seeing in your field in the next, say, 3 to 5 years or so?
I think we're going to see a whole sea change, because at the moment we've heard about Ozempic, which is obviously the drug that broke the door down. And then now we're hearing more about Mounjaro. So these are just brands of different drugs, and there are only two at the moment that are approved for use. But there are 200, just and about, 200 drugs in trials at the moment. Now, clearly, not all 200 of these are going to make it to market. But even if 5 to 10% of these 200 that are currently in trials make it to market, suddenly we have 5 to 10 new drugs within the field. So over the next 5 years or so, we are going to be flooded with all these tools. Now, some are going to work better than others. Some are going to have more side effects than others. But let's see where this takes us.
And you've got an incredibly distinguished career in the sort of the joint fields of academic research and also scientific communication through your sort of TV and radio shows. What would you say to anyone, just to finish off, who wants to work in these fields, anyone sort of growing up listening in Cambridge who wants to get into academic research or scientific communication?
I mean, for academic research, just be curious, right? And if you're a biologist and you're interested in research, try and get some research experience. And likewise, if you are in university at the moment and have a love for science communication, for academic communication, any kind of communication, then get involved. Get involved locally. I mean, I started locally. You start doing by the local science festivals. You start by going to the local primary school. You know, anyone can do this. And then from there, if you're good at it, if people begin to notice you, you can then begin to do bigger and better things, so to speak.
And we're so lucky to have these opportunities on our doorstep in Cambridge. You'll be providing one of them on Monday, March the 30th. We'll look out for some a standby or waiting list tickets, because it is sold out. But it's a fantastic opportunity within a wider festival of amazing talks. And thank you so much for joining us on Cambridge Radio this morning, Dr. Giles Yem.
Thank you so much.